Our sermon today picks up, well, it's kind of the introduction to the reading that we heard earlier from our elder. It's from Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can neither be measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.'" Thank you, God, as ever, for your wonderful word. We may not always understand exactly what is meant, but we know you have a loving message for us today. Well, here we are at L for our Through the Bible A through Z series. So let me ask you, who were you named for? A grandparent or another ancestor, a family friend, a famous figure? The story goes that my mother and father were watching a movie, and one of the characters in it was named Tanya. They liked the name, so that's why they chose it for me. And apparently, they had a friend who had no children of her own, but she asked them to give me her name, Jean, as a middle name. And Jean is also an anagram of my mother's name, Jane. So what does your name mean? Mine is a variation of the Russian name Tatiana, which means fairy princess. I'll take that. It's so pretty and melodious. Names often have meanings, especially for God's prophets. When God had a message for the prophets, they frequently acted out the message for everyone to see, although everyone didn't always understand either the acting out or the message. For instance, at God's command, the prophet Jeremiah bought a loincloth, wore it, buried it, and then dug it up as a way to show how well the people had started out, but then they became rotten and useless. Ezekiel prepared a bag as though he were about to be exiled and dug through a wall with his bare hands and walked off in the middle of the night. This was a sign for the people that they were about to be sent into exile. When God called on Hosea, the sign this prophet enacted involved marrying a woman of, shall we say, less than stellar ideal character, and giving the children she bore strange but symbolic names: Jezreel, scattered; Lo-Ruhamah, not pitied; Lo-Ammi, not my people. Hosea's obedience to the call of God could not have been easy. Gomer's bad reputation was well known in the city, so when Hosea married her, it's for certain everybody started talking about it and laughing at him. What's he doing with her? Why is he marrying her? The joke's on you, Hosea. No, the joke was on the people. God intended Hosea's marriage to be a sign for them, a sign and a warning. To God, the faithless people of Israel and Judah were behaving just like a faithless marriage partner, like Hosea's wife, Gomer. God considered the relationship with Israel to be a marriage. God considered himself Israel's husband. God expected love and loyalty from the people of Israel, a reciprocation of the blessings that God gave them. Because that's what marriage is all about, isn't it? Mutual love and respect and give and take and loyalty. God loved the people, took care of the people, supported the people, believed in the people, just like a good spouse should. Well, what did the people do? They started chasing after other gods, something as bad as a married person chasing after someone else. They forsook the true worship of God to sacrifice to the Baals, the first false fertility gods of the surrounding peoples. They were glad to have Yahweh as their God, of course, but they also wanted to make sure that they covered all their bases. And the pagans seemed to be doing real good with their gods, so why not sacrifice to and worship those gods, just in case? It was more than just following idols. The people's sins went way deeper than that. There was no faithful love or loyalty, no acknowledgement of God, but there was plenty of swearing, lying, murder, stealing, stuff that made even the earth sick. As Hosea wrote elsewhere in his prophecy, they sowed the wind and reaped the whirlwind. They chased after uselessness and ended up with nothing when they could have had everything, everything they needed and wanted. Their rampant evil and blatant disregard cut God to the heart, just as a cheating spouse would hurt anyone's heart. God knew the pain of an unfaithful, indifferent partner. God forgave and forgave, but sooner or later, something had to give. So while they were laughing at Hosea, God was sending them a clear message. God was not going to put up with this faithlessness very much longer. And so God instructed Hosea to give Gomer's children warning names. Gomer had three children in quick succession. I wonder if she attributed her childbearing prowess to Baal, the false god of fertility, or did she realize the births of these children were the results of the true God of Israel and his desire to reach and teach his stubborn, wandering people? The eldest child's name, Jezreel, was a stark reminder of her distressing episode in Israel's past. It refers to the Valley of Jezreel, where King Jehu massacred all the descendants of King Ahab, thus establishing his throne. This name indicated God would avenge this horrid act. Although Ahab was a very scandalous scoundrel, and we'll learn more about him next week, Jehu went overboard with his violent revenge, slaughtering not only Ahab's 70 sons, but his friends, leaders, and priests as well. Jezreel means scattered, and Israel would soon be scattered in exile by the Assyrians. The name was a reminder and a warning, a reminder of a great past sin, and a warning that punishment for it was coming. People would hear that name and remember what happened at Jezreel. They would wonder, why in the world would Hosea give a child a name that would evoke unhappy memories? As disassociated from God as they wouldn't understand the message God was sending them. The second child, a girl, had a musical but malignant name, Lo Ruhama. People would hear Gomer shouting at her, Lo Ruhama, get in this house this instant. Lo Ruhama, act like a lady. Lo Ruhama, behave. They would scratch their heads, not pitied, not compassionated. Why on earth would anyone name their child that? The meaning of this name, too, went right over everyone's heads. Soon you will be scattered. Soon you will find God has no compassion or pity for you. For who? For us? The Israelites ask. Not us. God's always going to love us. We're the chosen people. So once more, they brushed aside the warning in the child's name. Apparently, Gomer left Hosea once or twice, but every time she did, Hosea welcomed her back. How hopeful was Hosea, thinking maybe Gomer would change, maybe his steadfast love for her would finally convince her to stay and not go astray. Gomer was a living prophecy of the tenderness of God towards sinners, forgiving again and again, and always holding out a loving welcome. Hosea was disappointed by Gomer time and time again, like God with Israel. But Hosea and God kept trying, kept believing, kept hoping their love would make a difference. As faithless and reckless as the people were, God was willing to welcome them back, to forgive them again, to love them again. Even knowing their penchant for wandering, God wanted them. But eventually, God got fed up. To all those who were saying, we're God's people, God's on our side, no matter what, God replied through Hosea's third and last child, no, you are lo amai, you are not my people. God demands and deserves total loyalty from his people. God told them, I have been the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you will know no other gods but me. there is no Savior besides me. All God had done for them, they still didn't get it. They still couldn't keep the faith. They still couldn't resist checking out those other gods. They still couldn't believe that God was all they needed. So God had to cut them off and cut them out. Although the people were unfaithful to God, God was still faithful to them. Even as God pushed the people away and scattered and shattered them, God spoke of restoration and redemption. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, God said, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. God just couldn't let them go, just couldn't give up on them entirely. Even as God declared, lo am I, God also said, I will take you back, and you will be my people. Hosea pleaded with them for almost 70 years, return to your God with faithful love and justice, and wait continually for your God. Hear God's promise. I will heal their faithlessness. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. They will again live beneath my shadow. They will flourish like a garden. One day, when they learned their lesson, one day when they realized that God was their be-all and end-all, all they ever needed. One day when they finally saw the depth of God's love for them. One day when they shoved aside all those idols and said to the one God, you are my God. One day when they would understand how Hosea could accept and continue to love and welcome back over and over that fallen woman, Gomer. One day when they fully understood the meaning of the names of the three children she bore. We didn't say anything about Hosea's name, but his name means something too. It's a name of hope and restoration. His name means salvation. It comes from the same root word as the name Joshua and the name Jesus. Centuries before Christ's appearing, centuries before Jesus found his way into our hearts, Hosea was living out God's promise of hope and redemption and salvation. Once we were Jezreel, scattered out of the safety and security of God's unrelenting love. But once we turned around and saw God standing there with arms wide open to welcome us, we found our past sins forgiven, and we no longer needed to cringe when we were reminded of them. Once we were La Ruhama, not pitied, because we simply didn't grasp how much God loved us and how much God wanted us to come back. But once we turned around and saw the gleam of compassion in God's eyes, we understood and we accepted the undeserved love God offered us. Once we were Lo-Ammi, not God's people, running after useless idols and inept, inadequate gods. But when we turned around and saw the light and the love of the one true God, we became God's people. We rejoiced with the people to whom Hosea prophesied, and that prophecy came true. The lo that meant no would be removed and the knot untied. God promised, I will have mercy. You will be my people again, and you will be called by a new, more wonderful, more powerful name. Let this be our proclamation and the name we claim. We are the children of the living God. We are the children of a faithful, loving mother. We have found the promises fulfilled in a loving Savior. He has come to us to show us all exactly how to live for God and how to love God. So God never knows the sorrow or disappointment of watching us go astray. Through this one whose very name means salvation, this one whose name is above all other names, we have found our place as children of the living God, and we are right where we belong. Let us pray. God, we who once were Lo-Ammi, now rejoice that we are indeed your people, your loving children, living for you and the Christ you have sent us. Enfold us in your compassion and empower us and encourage us. Gather, don't scatter us. For your mercy, for your salvation, for your love and acceptance, we give you thanks, O God. Amen.
Here we gather as God's people with our friends from far and near. Let our voices sound with praises, knowing Christ has called us here. Now we seek and greet each other, now in joy approach our friends. Here we mingle, bound together, as to all our love extends. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Now listen, Lord, if you wanna know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. No, not just for some, but for everyone.